Greetings, dear friends, in the blessed Savior's worthy and precious name. Unto you who believe, He is precious. And I trust today the Lord Jesus is most precious to you. During recent broadcasts, we have enjoyed considering the subject, the Bible is the Word of God. And then we also, in our last broadcast, went into the fact of God. Who is God? And just as time was running out on us, we were considering the covenant names of Jehovah. One of them taken from Jeremiah 23:6, Jehovah Tsidkenu, or the Lord our righteousness. I would like to share with you a little piece by that same title, The Lord Our Righteousness. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Tsidkenu was nothing to me. I oft read with pleasure to soothe or engage Isaiah's wild measure and John's simple page. But even when they pictured the blood-sprinkled tree, Jehovah Tsidkenu seemed nothing to me. Like tears from the daughters of Zion that roll, I wept when the waters went over his soul. Yet thought not that my sins had nailed to the tree. Jehovah Tsidkenu was nothing to me. When free grace awoke me with light from on high, then legal fear shook me. I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my Savior, must be. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears banished. With boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah Tsidkenu is all things to me. Just Jehovah Tsidkenu, my treasure and boast. Jehovah Tsidkenu, I ne'er can be lost. In thee I shall conquer by flood and by field. My cable, my anchor, my breastplate and shield. So wrote Robert Murray McShane in November of 1834. And of course, if you tuned in late, this is based on Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, where we read about Jehovah Tsidkenu, or the Lord, our righteousness. Shall we pray? Blessed Master, we bow today in that holy, precious name, the Lord Jesus, bowing, Heavenly Father, in your presence. Praising you, Heavenly Father, that we have access through him and through his precious shed blood into your holy presence. O God, without him, there is no righteousness. Father, we can only approach your throne today through the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, being made righteous in him. For all of our own self-righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Father, how we bless you today, and how we praise you for the Lord, our righteousness, the one who established our righteousness when he bled and died at Calvary's cross. So bless today every listener. Some are sick and discouraged. Some are being tempted and tried and tested. Others listening are outside of Christ. They don't know anything about the righteousness of the Lord Jesus being imputed to them by faith. May it be so this very day, Father, and for it all, we'll give you the praise, the glory, the honor, in his worthy name alone. Back to the question that we were considering in our last broadcast. Who is God? Well, he is God the Father. In Old Testament references to deity, it's almost universally to the triune God, with little mention being made to the persons of the Trinity. God the Father, Jehovah, is presented as electing, as loving, as bestowing. And yet when we step into the New Testament, he is set forth in different aspects. For example, he is known as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though eternally coexistent, in a sense the Son was begotten of the Father. I refer you to Psalms 2 and 7, to John chapters 1 and chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 4, and this fact is acknowledged by God the Father. And again, we would encourage you to read Matthew 3 and Matthew 17. This fact is acknowledged by God the Son in Matthew 11:27, in Luke 22, verse 29, and in John chapter 8. I trust you're taking these down so you can study them for yourself. Be like the Berean Christians who searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Men acknowledged this in Matthew 16:16. And even the demons, for whatever good their testimony is, acknowledged this very truth, that God the Father was the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this acknowledgement from the satanic element is found in Matthew 8:29. But another aspect of the fact that God is portrayed in the Word of God as a Father is that He is the Father of all who believe. Now, this is not the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. True, God is the Creator of all, but He is not the Father of all, for He is the Father only of those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Creator, yes. The Judge to whom all men shall answer, yes. But Father of those who have been born again into the family of God. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1, we read that Adam was made in the likeness of God. Two verses later, Genesis 5 and 3, Seth was made in the likeness of Adam. What happened? Well, during that intervening time referred to there in the fifth chapter of Genesis, you can check back into the third chapter, and you see the fall of man. You see the entrance of sin. And though Adam was in the likeness of God, Seth was made in the likeness of Adam, his father. The Scripture tells us in Romans 5, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Friend of mine, listening today, you have sinned. You are a sinner by nature, by choice, and by practice, so tells us the Word of God. And it is therefore imperative and absolutely necessary that you experience what the Bible calls the new birth. Ye must be born again. One preacher who was famous for always preaching and hammering away at this subject was one day asked, "Preacher, why do you always preach ye must be born again?" And he said, "Because ye must be born again." Friend of mine, apart from this spiritual birth that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, you're lost and condemned and will someday stand before God the Father, God the Judge. But if you'll come in all your guilt and sin, plead the mercy of God, trust the Savior, He'll forgive you. And listen, He'll become your Father. We were born into our physical fathers' homes and families by physical birth. And if you want to be born into the family of God, it must come through spiritual birth, new birth. Physical birth makes you acceptable and adaptable to a physical life here on a physical earth. But friend of mine, that is not enough. You're not adaptable to heaven. You're not adaptable to the spiritual realm simply by virtue of a physical birth. You must have the spiritual birth. And when you have this, Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the," note this, "children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." So you come into that intimate relationship with God the Father through God the Son, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You are therefore members of His family. Galatians 3:26 says, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." The liberal would like to cut that verse in half and simply say we're all the children of God. But it's only those who have by faith been born again and made heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ into the family of God. Who is God? He's God the Father. And He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who is God? He's God the Son. He's the pre-existent one. That is, He existed before He became the perfect man or the perfect child in Bethlehem's manger. We read in John 1, "The same was in the beginning with God." From Micah 5:2, "whose goings forth have been from everlasting." He has been going forth, going about from eternity past. In other words, He is without beginning. We read in John 17, He said, "Glory I had with you before the world was." Of course, He was born many, many years after this old world as we know it was framed and came into existence. But he was with the Father, John 17 and 5, long before this old world was brought into being. And so we see him in the creation. His titles, the many found within the Word of God, tell us of his eternal being. And he has some of the very attributes or characteristics as God the Father. He was and is worshipped as God. He is. Who is he? He is the incarnate one. Luke tells us of his incarnation. Isaiah foretold it, and Paul to Timothy retold it. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. Yes, it was by means of the incarnation that very God became very man. He laid aside his glory, not his deity, mind you, just his glory. What is incarnation, and why was incarnation necessary? Well, it simply means in flesh. And the eternal God became in flesh. To reveal God to man, as we read John 1, Romans 5, and 1 John 3, the incomprehensible God is translated into a language that we can understand. For God to be seen by us, he had to speak in a universal language. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We needed a language that we could understand. And so in the language of Jesus Christ, God revealed himself to us. And also, the incarnation was necessary to reveal man, that is, God's man, God's ideal man. 1 Peter 2 tells us he is the example to the believer, not an example to the unsaved. God isn't seeking to reform lost, unregenerate men. No, he's seeking to regenerate them. And Jesus did not come to be simply an example. But friend of mine, he came to be a Savior, to provide a sacrifice for sin, a body thou hast prepared me, we read in the book of Hebrews. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the Father. He also came to destroy the works of Satan. We read that in Hebrews 2 and 14 and from 1 John chapter 3. He came to be a faithful and merciful high priest. We don't have time to elaborate on this, but we can thank God today that those of us who are in Christ have at the Father's right hand our advocate, our intercessor, the one who is there making intercession as our merciful and great high priest. He also came to fulfill the Davidic kingdom, a covenant, that is the covenant of David. And in his glorified body, he will yet appear to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, as foretold and prophesied concerning the throne of his father David. And we can bless God that this one who was the incarnate Christ, God's ideal man and man's ideal God, the one who died at Calvary, was buried and resurrected 3 days, is at the Father's right hand. And praise God, he's coming soon. Are you ready, friend of mine? When the Son will come and take his own to forever be with himself, can you say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus? Friend of mine, if you cannot say that, why not this very moment receive Christ, experience new birth, be added into the family of God, and know your sins are forgiven, know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. In closing, I want to offer a little book entitled Herbert Armstrong, Mr. Confusion, by Roger F. Campbell. This is available free if you're right. He tells some of the things that you need to know, especially on the subject of the Trinity, the fact that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one, each one having a part in your salvation. Write us if we can be of any help, and may the Lord bless you. Amen.